Redistricting Committee for May 5th, 2022 will come to order. Mr. Brassari, will you please take a court, according to House rule, this program is being streamed live by the House Public Information Office. Mr. Brassari, will you call the roll of the committee members that are present, please?
Certainly. Chair Murphy.
Present.
Vice Chair Cleburne. Representative Torkelson.
Present.
Representative Bonner. Representative Bonner. Representative Garofalo. Representative Garofalo. Representative Greenman. She's just connecting right now. Representative Greenman, present. Representative Igo.
Present.
Igo, present.
Representative Igo, present. Representative Lee is excused. Representative Long.
Present.
Representative Long, present. Representative Munson.
Munson, present.
Representative Munson, present. Representative Nash.
Present.
Representative Nash, present. Representative New Brindley. Representative New Brindley.
Present.
Representative New Brindley, present. Representative O'Driscoll is excused. Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative Olson, present. Representative Sandstead.
Present.
Representative Sandstead, present. Representative Schultz.
Present.
Representative Schultz, present. Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson. Representative Vang.
Present.
Representative Vang, present. Representative West.
Present.
Representative West, present. And I see Representative Vice Chair Cleburne.
Present.
Welcome. Chair Murphy, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. And members, thank you very much for your flexibility and being able to appear today and continue our work of the redistricting committee after our long term of working together earlier in the year, but we've kind of had a hiatus and here we are back. And this might not be the last meeting of the redistricting committee, but we have to stay flexible in case something proceeds when that we do not know about, or if it isn't even on our horizon. We're always going to be flexible, but Representative Torkelson, thank you for being free to meet yesterday and to go over how we were going to face what we're doing today. Last week, it came to our attention that Secretary of State's office has submitted, or people have submitted to the Secretary of State's office things that they thought should be checked in their local districts as the cities and townships and counties are making up their precinct data redistribution of the census reports for their requirements of having voting districts and recognizing that the voting districts have to be contiguous and they also have to be fair, and the privacy of the voter has to be maintained at all times. And Representative Torkelson and I discussed that yesterday, and we arrived at the process that we're going to follow this morning, with the Senate amendment that came over, the Senate bill that came over to the House of Representatives last week. And so we are taking up Senate File 4476 today in this committee meeting. And we are going to start with the Secretary of State's officers that are going to briefly summarize the current process for what local units of government seek that want administrative changes to the redistricting boundary. Keeping in mind that the redistricting maps are not the ones that Representative Torkelson submitted or I submitted, but they are the court ordered redistricting maps that we received in March. And so I would like to invite Ms. Freeman, Nicole Freeman, Government Relations Director of the Secretary of State's office, and Julie Strother, Deputy Secretary of State, to explain what's happened in the meantime with the forms that the local communities sent asking for line determinations.
Madam Chair.
Representative Cleburne.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Before we go into testimony, could we just briefly pause and do the adoption of the minutes from December 9th?
Thank you. Yes, I will. That's a good idea.
Right, Madam Chair, I would move those minutes for adoption, the December 9th, 2021 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes, as Vice Chair Cleburne suggested, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing no nays, I move that the motion prevails and the minutes of December 9th are adopted. Thank you. Now, Ms. Freeman, Ms. Strother, whoever else you might have with you or are including, will you please give us a brief presentation of what's happened in your world?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Nicole Freeman. I'm the Government Relations Director for the Secretary of State's office. I do have Julie Strother as well as Bebe Black, our General Counsel, on. Just to help answer any questions that come up. I think my presentation will be pretty brief. And then you can move on to the rest of the business. Once the redistricting plan was enacted, Minnesota Statutes 2.91 provides a process for the Office of the Secretary of State to issue corrections to the plan under very limited circumstances. And so the most common reason that we would issue a correction order was when the description of a district boundary line is ambiguous or it wasn't properly named. A common example of this is when the redistricting plan specified that a whole jurisdiction would be within one legislative district, but the census blocks don't perfectly follow that district line. And so in that circumstance, we could make that technical correction where they determined, because the redistricting plan stated that it wasn't a split district, it was a jurisdiction that should be complete in one House district. So counties and municipalities, they submit these boundary correction orders to the Secretary of State's office after they've reviewed the redistricting plan themselves. And then the Office of the Secretary of State reviews the correction requests to determine if they meet the requirements set out in 2.91. If they don't meet the requirements in 2.91, jurisdictions would need to seek legislative approved changes. And so some of those changes are, some of the changes you're considering today are ones that OSS is not permitted to make or didn't have the authority to make under 2.91. So if the Secretary's office does determine that a correction request meets the requirements in 2.91, we are then obligated to consult with the revisor of statutes, as well as the Legislative Coordinating Commission before issuing a correction order. So we consult with those two groups to make sure that that they also believe it fits 2.91, as well as that our fix matches up what they feel like it should be as well. So the Secretary's office has currently issued 8 correction orders under its statutory authority, and the correction orders are available on our website in the official documents database. These 8 correction orders are less than half the number that we issued in 2012. I was talking with Brad Neuhauser in our office, who does a lot of our GIS work around redistricting and working with the cities and counties, and he thought that reduction in number of correction orders was likely because the mapping is just better. That mapping technology has improved. And so there's less little movement between lines that are needed to be made. So that is those are the correction orders that the office has made thus far. And the rest of them would have to have any legislative action taken.
Okay, Representative Tarkelson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair, and for the testifier. Is there a time limit on when the Secretary of State can make these sorts of corrections, or is this an ongoing process?
Ms. Freeman.
So I don't believe that there's a time limit set out in statute. Many of them, though, historically have happened prior to the beginning of candidate filing, for example, in past years. So these correction orders were issued March 31st. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Does anyone on the committee have any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Freeman, and will you please stay on and so that we might have to refer back to you. Appreciate it a lot. Let's move on to the bill then. The Senate file was referred to us from the floor last Friday. And so that's what we will be working from. Vice Chair Cleburne, would you please take the gavel and chair the meeting while I present the bill?
Thank you, Chair Murphy. And if you would please move the bill and begin. Thank you.
Okay, the bill is takes care of two proposals, one in the 15th district and the other one in the 16th district and the 58th district. And Matt Gehring.
Madam Chair, let me just put the bill before us. I'll move that Senate File 4476 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Thank you. Members, in general, over the past 2 months, local units of government, as Ms. Freeman has said, have had an opportunity to analyze the new legislative or congressional maps released by the courts and to see how they would impact their jurisdictions. As Ms. Freeman noted, a process is available for local units to submit requests for corrections. What we will see today is a response to a handful of identified issues with a priority or on maintaining voter privacy, as I said before. The bill before us came from the Senate for adjustments in Northfield and in Chippewa. I would like to have someone from the Northfield Township in Rice County to speak on that change. I believe Ms. Diane Lyman or Denise Anderson are present with us, and we welcome you to bring this to our attention to give us more experience in redistricting. And you're kind of the flag bearer for the bill. So welcome to the committee, and please explain what's happening here.
Thank you for inviting us. I don't know, Denise and I didn't talk in advance about who would speak to what.
Okay, and you are?
I'm Diane Lyman, Northfield Township Clerk.
And you filled out the form and you submitted to the Ms. Freeman's office.
I filled out one of them. Both Denise and I did.
Okay.
The form I completed, in a perfect world, Northfield Township went from one precinct to three in this last districting round. We're 6 miles.
And was that because of population increases?
You know, population hasn't increased
okay
much at all.
Excuse me, Diane.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you like me to just start a little bit? I'll just kind of read ours first. Okay, Madam Chair, my name is Denise Anderson, and I am the Rice County Property Tax and Election Director. Not to take anything away from Diane, but I'll just give a little history here. Northfield Township is 857 for population census for 2020. Northfield Township, prior to the state orders, was one precinct and one district. When we received the orders from the state, or excuse me, from the judges to redistrict, it split Northfield Township into three precincts. One precinct of 224 people, precinct two of 631 residents, and precinct three, which is our concern, to two residents. They are putting precinct three into 58A. And what our concern is that, oh, thank you. I should have said 58B, excuse me. I stated that. No, let me look here. I am sorry. I'll just read what I have ready. How about that? Instead of going off the cuff. I'm sorry. One census block, one house with a population of two is in a different legislative house district than the rest of the township. Northfield Township is in 58B, where census block 1027 is on the court order to be in 58A. The census block in question is comprised of one parcel, one tax parcel in Rice County. Our correction request is to move this block 58B so that the entire township is in one legislative district, leaving block B1027 in 58A is administratively burdensome to both the county and to the township, because the township is also being split into two congressional districts. The township is already going from one precinct to two, and with this block in 58A, that would require a third precinct to manage a population of two voters. This opens the door for less voter confidentiality, less voter security of who voted for who, with only two voters in a precinct, block 1027. This is an extra cost and additional election equipment, election judge staffing, and county treasurer and township staff time would be required to administer this election. This creates additional confusion for election judges and potentially the voters who may not necessarily understand why they are voting for different offices other than their township neighbors. We respectively request block 1027 to be removed to 58B for the 2022 redistricting cycle effective for August 2022 election.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. That clarified a lot, especially in the map, when we could see the map.
Thank you, and thank you, Nicole, for having the map.
And Ms. Lyman, do you have anything to add to this situation?
No, I echo, thank you. I echo what Denise has presented. Our biggest concern was the voter confidentiality. And with contentious elections, I just think it's vital that we protect their confidence in knowing that the rest of the world doesn't know how they voted for any particular candidate or on any particular issue.
Can that piece of land that you want to be to include in the township, can that be divided up so that there would be more than two people living in that area?
Madam Chair, it cannot. It is just one size lot. There is not buildable for another house or another apartment. There only can be one dwelling on that parcel.
All right. Thank you very much. There's another question, Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's important that we emphasize that voter privacy is the issue that we are concerned with here. Inconvenience for voting procedures is really not, I don't think, the bar that we should be recognizing. The bar that we should recognize is voter privacy. This one clearly does involve voter privacy and does meet that requirement. And that is what should be highlighted in this case and in all the cases that we're discussing today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Chair Murphy, I don't see any further questions.
Okay, then.
Would you like to move on to the other provision of the bill?
Okay,
thank you. To the county, we have with us, is there someone who would like to speak to the provision? I have a Michelle May from Chippewa County on the call.
Ms. May?
Oh. Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Michelle May. I'm the Chippewa County Auditor Treasurer Coordinator. I submitted a request to the Secretary of State's office to review the districting for Granite Falls Township. During the redistricting process, the legislative district for the Granite Falls Township split the township into two. So most of the district is in 16A. And there are a few census blocks that are in 15A. And as you can see from the census data, it does not show that there were any residences, but what we have is actually a residence in the middle of that 15A section. Actually, that little line that runs north-south is a driveway, and there is a residence there. And we have three registered voters in that section. And because these census blocks are in a different legislative district, we would have a separate precinct just for those census blocks. And that would create a voter privacy issue because the precinct would only have three voters. And it would be very clear that their votes would be made, it would be very obvious how they voted in the election. And so our request is to put the entirety of Granite Falls Township in the legislative district 16A so that we can maintain that voter privacy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you, Ms. May. Are there any questions related to this change? Okay, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No questions really regarding this particular situation. I believe this also meets that requirement that we be considering issues of voter privacy. I think it'd be good before we move on to go back to the Secretary of State's office if Ms. Freeman could answer a couple of questions.
Ms. Freeman, are you available? And Representative Lee Torkelson, would you like to state your question for Ms. Freeman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what I'm interested in here is process. How did this one, I believe came through your office, but wasn't brought to our attention until fairly recently. Can you just kind of review the process of how these proposals come to the legislature?
Ms. Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson. So the proposals can come to the legislature in a variety of ways. These, I believe, came directly through representatives or senators. They also were submitted to the Office of the Secretary of State. So they can come multiple ways. Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Freeman.
So this one was included in what the Senate heard last week.
Thank you for that, Ms. Freeman. So
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry about that. So Ms. Freeman, if I could ask another question, Madam Chair.
Please proceed, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you. So we're going to hear some other proposals here that we're really gathering information on this morning that were not in the Senate bill. And I think it might be confusing for, it's confusing for me, so I guess it'd be confusing for the average voter too. What triggers the presentation of these issues to the legislature? Because we really didn't know anything about these until you came forward with them maybe a week ago or so. Thank you.
Representative Torkelson, I'd like to just state for the record that Representative Lippert brought forward the bill for the Northfield change. Chair Murphy, is there anything that you would like to add on this?
No, primarily it was the information we received from the Secretary of State when the Senate announced their intent to have a meeting.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. My question is for the Secretary of State's office.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. And Chair Murphy, you also have a number of amendments. As you mentioned, we'll hear about the proposals before moving them. After we recess and come back, we'll move the amendments and vote on them. Would you like to bring forward your first amendment?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Torkelson.
I asked a question of the Secretary of State's office.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was answered. Forgive me. Ms. Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson. So when in conversations with staff earlier this year, it didn't appear that there was going to be any movement on a redistricting bill. As there was movement on a redistricting bill, we forwarded them to the Senate and the House.
Thank you, Ms. Freeman. And Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Freeman, for that. It seems a little unusual that the introduction of a bill would trigger the submission of this information to the legislature. We're all, this is a once every 10 years process. I understand why it's a little lumpy because we only do it every 10 years, but it just seems to me anyway that those requests should be somehow indicated to the legislature during the process rather than after a bill is introduced. Thank you for your answer.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Chair Murphy?
Madam Chair, Ms. Freeman, you said that after consultation with staff, that was Secretary of State staff? Or Senate staff?
I had preliminary conversations with research staff in both of the chambers, and the feeling was that it wasn't likely that something would move. I know that the changes were also sort of all the changes that we received were shared with the LCC as well. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. So you do have the author's amendments. Would you like to bring forward the A3 amendment? Oh, well, let's just discuss it first. Chair Murphy.
Pardon me?
Did you want to discuss the A3? Sorry, it's a little confusing.
This shows how organized I am, isn't it?
Thank you, Chair Murphy. So would you like to discuss, we won't bring it forward yet, but to discuss the A3 amendment?
Yes, I would. But are we, there was no A2 before that. That's what I was looking at.
I have the A3 listed first, so.
Yeah, and I have the A3, but when are we going to do the A2?
So, Chair Murphy, maybe we should discuss that. We are going to bring these, we're going to do the A2 last, I believe.
Okay.
But just to give everybody an idea of what we're doing here, because this has come to us so quickly, what we would like to do is bring the amendments forward. Not forward as in for action, but to discuss them. Let everybody have a chance to understand what is being discussed this morning. We will take a brief recess so that we will have an opportunity to process what we've heard, and then we will come back before we take any action on the amendments. I hope that's clear.
That's right. We want to have all the information in front of us before we go on break, right? And this is what Representative Torkelson and you worked out yesterday, and I accepted and approved of that procedure. So yes, indeed, I do want to talk about the bill, and I want to talk about Amendment 3 and Amendment 4 and Amendment 2.
Okay.
As we go along. But right now, the first proposed amendment is Amendment 3. And this responds to an issue identified by the Secretary of State's office regarding Congressional District 7. And I suppose Congressional District 8, too, because it's the dividing line between 7 and 8.
Correct. And the map is now before us. So, Chair Murphy,
and Ms. Freeman, would you please talk about this suggested amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair members. This was something that our staff, election staff, discovered as they were going through maps. That little chunk of Akeley Township, Akeley Township is split by congressional district, but it's further north. And this one, it appears that it would be most clean to have the congressional line follow the Akeley Township boundary instead of following the road. And so that's what we're, that's the change that we're asking for here. There are no voters in that section, but that's a.
But if that, Ms. Freeman, if that section of land were to be sold and somebody could move in, it would certainly be obvious who they were voting for, could their privacy of voting might be exposed at that time. Am I correct?
That's a future possibility, Madam Chair and members. We weren't able to make this correction because it didn't seem that we assume that the court didn't intend the split, but it's also, it follows a road, so it's not an ambiguous line. But again, it doesn't appear to be a spot where the court intended to split a township.
You're right.
Chair Murphy?
I just think it's obvious.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. Lee Torkelson, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For Ms. Freeman, I'm trying to clarify why the Secretary of State's office could not do this on their own. My understanding was that part of the reason was because the township is split at another spot on the map. Is that correct, or did I have bad information?
Ms. Freeman.
So, it is split at another spot on the map. And so the court intended to split the township in general into congressional districts. However, in this spot, on both sides of that little curve, it follows the township line. And so I think this was a spot where we weren't sure if the court intended to have it follow the line in this spot or have it follow the road there.
Lee Torkelson?
So because it was already a split township, we weren't able to make that change.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ms. Freeman. I believe that answers the question. Madam Chair, just a comment on this particular one. Of course, it does not actually involve any voters at this point in time. But because it looks like a logical thing to do, I don't have any serious problem with it. I guess it's when we're talking about voter privacy, it's hard to consider this as a voter privacy when the voters haven't arrived there yet. But given the very small correction that's involved here, and because the Secretary of State's office has requested it, and I believe their request is due to the fact that the township is split in another spot, otherwise they would have corrected this on their own. I'm fine with this one, but we will have a chance to discuss it when we take a recess.
Thank you, Lee Torkelson. Are there any other questions regarding the A3 amendment? All right, I see no further questions on the A3 amendment. Chair Murphy, would you like to move on to the A4 amendment and let us know what we're discussing there? Thank you.
The A4 amendment.
This is the Olmsted County.
And is in Olmsted County and Marion Township. A4 goes along and the map that goes with that is 24B and 20B?
That's correct.
And there is the map up on our screen. And you can see this is a more populated areas in Olmsted County. And they filled out the form and brought it to the Secretary of State's office. And Ms. Freeman, will you please tell why we received it?
Ms. Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So the map is a little confusing on the screen in that there's tiny little pieces that are in Marion Township. So I think Chris is gonna help me. Yep, this is great. So Marion Township, for the most part, is over on the right side of the screen. And then it extends along Highway 14 is kind of along right there where Chris is putting his cursor. So there are a few small plots of land that are still in the township where Chris is highlighting right now. And so those are the tiny plots of land that are moved into a separate house district, different than the rest of Marion Township. There's a total of, I spoke with Olmsted County this morning, there's a total of 12 voters that currently reside in that, in those portions, which is now Marion Precinct 2. And so the request from Olmsted County was Is there a way to just keep it all in one township? OSS couldn't make that change because it is a split township on the redistricting plan. However, I think this one is being discussed today because of the potential for voter privacy issues, but I'm not sure how far you'd like me to go. I know Olmsted County is on as well, or if other staff want to talk about the change.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Freeman. Would either Marion Township or Olmsted County wish to speak on this matter?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. My name is Catherine Smith. I'm the Associate Director of our Property Records and Licensing Department in Olmsted County. I'm here to speak on this particular issue. We have that split in Marion Township between District 24B and 20B, which puts only three plots of land into a separate precinct of Marion Township, Precinct 2. One of those locations is a multifamily. It used to be an old motel, so now it's a multifamily residential location. And the other is a single family home. And the third is a water tower. Our worry is concerning voter privacy. This small segment of land actually juts into the city of Rochester and is likely to be incorporated in segments. So once that multifamily unit is incorporated, we're going to go down from the 12 voters to even less voters. I know it's been up for discussion potentially to look at incorporating more voters into Marion Township Precinct 2 from Marion Township Precinct 1. I look forward to exploring that option, anything I can do to provide information. I know as we start moving east, however, that the first couple of locations that are on the map are actually a warehouse and an uninhabited home, so it wouldn't actually be adding voters. So as we explore those options, I just look forward to working with the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. And if I could ask Mr. McCall to please put up the screen and maybe explain why this amendment is a little more confusing for individuals to understand.
Sure, Madam Chair. So I am going to share the screen of the actual mapping software for this, because I think this helps illustrate the unique problem facing Marion Township. So in the initial, in the initial correction request that was submitted to the Secretary of State's office, it was the township's hope that we could manipulate District 20B to extend along Highway 14 to grab these non-contiguous plots of the township, which are surrounded with these blue dotted lines. And the current boundary between the township and the city of Rochester is the proposed boundary from the courts as it moves north along this line. And so the purple line you see here is the proposal from the A4 amendment. The reason that this becomes tricky is that while there are some census blocks along the Highway 14 corridor that are empty, and you can see those as I click on them, there is no census block along the highway that actually connects all the way to the main boundary between the township and the city. So the only way to have a contiguous district for 20B that stretches west in order to pick up these non-contiguous portions of the township would be to go through the city of Rochester. And that would involve adding much more highly populated census blocks from the city of Rochester that have either 500 people or 300 people, which would be a much larger change and would also in all likelihood throw the population deviation for one or both districts out of order from the redistricting principles that encourage a deviation of less than 1%. So the A4 amendment attempted to address this in a similar minimal fashion to the Granite Falls Township area by adding a few more census blocks with population from the township. You'll see here that according to the census, this census block that we would add with the A4 amendment would have 8 people, but it sounds like from what we've heard from the county this morning that that number may not be accurate. This is a good reminder that when we get to this granular level, that some of the differential data work that the census does for privacy can make it hard to rely on the exact numbers here. So it is possible that we could expand this boundary a little bit further into Marion Township to add a few more voters to help ensure we're not creating an isolated precinct that has 1 to 3 households tucked behind the main boundary with the city of Rochester. At this time, the A4 amendment only goes as far as this space that the county is now telling us may not actually be populated. So the A4 amendments, as of now, based on this information, may not be sufficient to address the voter privacy concern, but we can certainly work with the county to see if there would be a different format that would tackle this.
Thank you, Mr. McCall. Representative Garofalo, I saw your hand up, but I don't see it now. Did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for the testifier. It sounds like she did not say this, but I wanted to confirm that we're looking at potential annexation issues from the city into the township going forward. Is that a concern?
Ms. Smith?
It is, in that of those two that are currently in Marion Township Precinct 2, the one that's likely to be annexed first is the one with heavy population, and that would just leave the one house by itself with the one or two voters that reside there.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Lead Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of quick points. One being Mr. McCall referred to, I forget the term he used, but I call it noise. The Census Bureau has added information to the maps that the intention is to make it harder for voters to be identified and protect their privacy, but we don't really know which numbers on these census blocks were added or not. And so we've discovered one here where apparently the noise was added. We don't even know that for sure. But there are no people there. So it gets very challenging in the situations like that to actually deal with these issues. The other point being that this seems to me it's a local annexation situation that we have no control over and has created this happenstance via the annexation process. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lee Torkelson. And that completes the... Well, I should ask, are there any other further questions to the A4 amendment? Okay. So that completes the targeted legislative changes. There is one additional amendment. Oh, Chair Murphy, please. Yes, Chair Murphy, if you could please unmute your computer.
Muted.
Thank you. Chair Murphy.
Before Ms. Smith leaves, is the annexation already taken place or is it projected?
Ms. Smith.
We currently have 12 voters in Marion Township Precinct 2. No annexation has taken place, but that has what has caused us to get down to a point where there are 12. There used to be more, and then this area has slowly been annexed into the city. So that's how we got to the point where we're currently at. And then also, as they continue to annex, if they take in just that multifamily, it will leave just that one house. But currently, no, there is no current planned annexation. It's currently sitting at 12 voters in Marion P2.
Thank you. That's a good clarification.
Chair Murphy, would you like to go on with the A2 amendment?
Oh, yes. Then Mr. Gehring, I would like Mr. Gehring to explain that one.
Right. Mr. Gehring, if you would please identify yourself and go forward with the explanation of the A2.
So, Madam Chair, Matt Gehring from the House Research Department. So the A2 amendment is a what I describe as a technical amendment. It adds two things into the bill. One is a repealer section. You see that on lines 1.3 and 1.4. And the repealer would eliminate out of statute the existing boundary adjustments that were made in 2013. So if you're going to enact some new boundary adjustments and mix them in with the ones that have been there for the past 10 years, there is likely going to be confusion from readers of the statute. So this would just clean up the statute so you have a clean set of district descriptions that would apply going forward. And then the lines 1.5 to 1.11 adds language to the effective date that would grant counties, cities, and towns that are impacted by these boundary adjustments a new authority to be sure they're allowed to adjust their own precinct boundaries to reflect the adjustments that you choose to make. And there's a deadline there of June 17th of 2022 for that action to happen. And that date is the date that I believe the Secretary of State has landed on as the sort of point of no return for for precincts to be sort of frozen in place for the coming state primary and state general election. And the reason for this language is that the timeline under current law for county, cities, and towns to do their own precinct adjustments and redistricting, the deadline for that has passed because we're well past the sort of official date for redistricting to be completed. And so this ensures that they have the ability to sort of adapt their precincts to the changes that you're making now.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. I see that Lead Torkelson has a question. Lead Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question, just a comment. I would like to thank Mr. Gehring for his thoughtful addition to this discussion. It's good work. We know that Mr. Gehring is a recognized expert in this field, and I strongly support adding this amendment.
Thank you, Lead Torkelson. Chair Murphy?
And I was just going to add that nationally, he's known as an expert on this. And I appreciate that very much, that he works for us every single day.
We are.
And so I don't have anything more to add to the A2 amendment. If I added something, it would perhaps become more confusing, and I don't want it to be confusing at all because it's a clarification and it reduces and it sets a deadline.
All right. Thank you, Chair Murphy. We had originally discussed taking a 10-minute break for everyone to have time to digest what has been said, and if you have questions, to bring those back. So if it is now, according to my clock, 9:53. So if we were to come back after a 10-minute recess, Chair Murphy, I guess I would defer to you. Do you want to come back at 10:15? Or do you want to come back sooner than that?
Chair Murphy? I think we should defer to Lead Torkelson.
All right, Lead Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I vote for 10:10.
10:10. All right. The committee will recess and we will come back at 10:10. The committee is now in recess. The redistricting committee back to order. What I would like to do, I think, Chair Murphy, is to let you give us a roadmap for the rest of this meeting. And then we would hear from Lead Torkelson. So Chair Murphy, if you would like to discuss the roadmap.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to have the A3 amendment before us.
Okay. Would you like to move the A3 amendment?
I would like to move the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The
S4476. The line between the 7th and 8th Congressional District and Hubbard County and Cass County, Akeley Township, Shingaboo Township.
All right, and so the S4476A3 amendment is before us. Lee Torkelson, I would like to ask Mr. McCall to put the map up so that everyone knows exactly what we're discussing, but I want to make sure that if you would like to have the screen available to you first for your comments, or if you would like to have Mr. McCall put the map up first.
Madam Chair, we're fine with this amendment. If you want to put the map up so that everyone knows for sure that they know what they're looking at, I feel we can proceed on this one.
Okay, so we're discussing the A3 amendment, which is the crossover of County Road 83 between Congressional District 7 and Congressional District 8. Chair Murphy, do you have any comments about this amendment, having Lee Torkelson saying he's in agreement with the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would like your cooperation.
All right. Are there any further questions regarding this amendment from members of the committee or any of the testifiers who are on the call?
Madam Chair, this is Representative Schultz.
Chair Schultz. Representative Schultz.
I support the amendment, but I would like to abstain from the vote because of any perceived conflicts of interest as I'm running for Congress in the 8th Congressional District.
Thank you, Representative Schultz, for that clarification. And I would ask that the committee administrator note that on the minutes, please, that Chair Schultz abstains from any vote. Seeing no further questions or discussions on the amendment, do we need to do a roll call vote, I guess? Or can we do it by voice?
You can do a voice vote.
Thank you. So all of those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. The motion prevails and the A3 amendment is adopted. Chair Murphy, would you like to bring the next amendment forward?
I would like to move the adoption of the A2 amendment.
Okay. Thank you. And the A2 amendment is the amendment that Mr. Gehring presented before us, changing the deadline to the 17th. Is there any discussion on this amendment? Lee Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I support this amendment.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the A2 amendment? Seeing no further questions or discussion, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Nay. The amendment is adopted. Chair Murphy, would you like to add any other questions or comments?
I have no other comments or questions or amendments.
Lee Torkelson, do you have any further questions or comments?
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I'd like to thank Chair Murphy for working with us on these issues in a very forthright manner, and appreciate her confidence. And I have great confidence in her. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Just for everyone on the call, I would like it to be acknowledged that we are not discussing the A4 at this time. We're going to just leave that open for the moment. And there are no further amendments before us. So Senate File 4476 as amended is now before us. Are there any questions or comments regarding the Senate File 4476 as amended?
Okay. Madam Chair, I think that we have done what we intended to do. Representative Torkelson and I, when we talked yesterday, and we made the Senate bill better in the sense that we're protecting the voters' rights and the voters' privacies in a greater part of Minnesota who brought our attention to their plight. And so we're taking baby steps, and we are doing the most important work, because privacy is so important with the voter. And this bill makes the Senate House File 4476 better than it was.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. And with that, and seeing no further discussion, Chair Murphy renews her motion that Senate File 4476, as amended, be recommended for placement on the General Register. Mr. Borisari, please take the roll.
Chair Murphy.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cleavorn.
Yes.
Lead Torkelson.
Torkelson votes aye.
Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, aye.
Representative Greenman.
Greenman, aye.
Representative Igo.
Igo, aye.
Representative Lee is excused. Representative Long.
Aye.
Representative Munson.
Munson, aye.
Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll is excused. Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Sandsteed.
Aye.
Representative Schultz.
Aye.
Representative Stevenson.
Aye.
Representative Vang.
Aye.
And Representative West.
Aye.
Madam Chair, there are 17 ayes and zero nays.
On a vote of 17 ayes and zero nays, the motion prevails, and Senate File 4476, as amended, is on its way to the General Register. Thank you, members. Chair Murphy.
I'm smiling. I've been in a deep depression since the court-ordered maps came out, and no one said anything, and everybody accepted them, and they didn't say, what's wrong with the courts? Well, how could they do this? How could they do that? Nothing like that. No back talk at all or pushback. But now that on this day, we had a unanimous vote on the redistricting bill from the redistricting committee, and I think we should all decide to wear a special color or something on that day that this comes up, and all be smiling together and voting for voters' privacy when this comes up on the floor. And you've just made my day that here we are to bring to the floor the redistricting bill unanimously passed by the committee.
Thank you, Chair Murphy. And are there any other further questions or comments or discussion? With that, members, this meeting is adjourned.